today on Real Radio.
You will never find in any writing in the history of man, in any religious group, setting, or religion, a book like the Bible that is honest enough to tell us about who we are, where we've come from, where we're at, and where we're going. Did you know that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. It's important in our faith to not only know God, but to understand the true original purpose God has for mankind, to know who we are in Him. A lot of what Pastor Jack has to say in this lesson might really surprise you. When God created man, the Bible teaches us that mankind was His pinnacle creation. We were created to reveal the glory of God. Pastor Jack is about to give us some clarity on who we are, where we've come from, and where we're going according to God. Now here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. It's a message called The Origins of Man.
Our biblical worldview and what the Bible has to say about the origin of man. Now this is obviously a huge topic, and we've got about 50 minutes to cover it, which is impossible. But it's enough to stimulate your heart and your mind to dig deep into finding out more about your life and about the God who has made you. And so as we do this evening, these messages are certainly designed to equip the believer. But if there's a non-believer here tonight or somebody who's not sure about God, then we want you to be thinking. Because that was exactly what was on the heart of Paul the Apostle when he came into Athens, Greece. In Acts chapter 17, he was there waiting for the rest of his ministry team to arrive, and Paul was walking around Athens, and he saw all of these various pedestals and images beholding these gods of the Greek world, and they were nearly 360 of them. And in Acts chapter 17, there's that podium there, that pedestal that had no God on it. It was empty, and it was inscribed on the ledge of it, "To the unknown God." And the Greeks wanted to make sure that they didn't miss a God in their worship, to offend Him, because they wouldn't want to do that. And so in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, Paul, when he begins to witness to the Athenians there in Greece, he uses a term that is the foundation for our worldview series. He uses three key words. He puts it into a sentence. It is powerful. It's in verse 28. And he said this regarding this God that they worshiped unknowingly. Paul sees the moment to introduce them to. He says, "For in Him, that is the God of all creation, we live, we move, and we have our being." Three things. Here, when he used the word, and Paul is speaking to them in Greek, he uses the word to live, meaning that He has given life. This is the God responsible for giving you life. That word means to receive life, or we use the word quicken. It's an old English word, but it means to grant life to bestow life upon. And then He used the word move. We not only have been given life by this God that He argued to these pantheistic believers, He said this God trumps all gods by the fact that He gives life. And secondly, we have movement in Him. And what that means is that we are stirred by Him. That word in the Greek means that it is this God who stirs you up. He arouses you. He awakens you to spiritual thought and concept and idea. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been awakened and aroused by events in your life. Things have gone on in your life that you would never, maybe a year or two or 5 years ago, you never, maybe last week, you never would have thought spiritual thoughts of God like you are thinking tonight. Why? Because something's happened in your life. And though God may not have sent the issue, He will use the issue to cause you and I to think or to be awakened to spiritual matters. Paul says, that's the God that I'm talking about, that we have our movement, our awakening from. So you see that he begins to set the living God out of the Bible before the eyes of the Athenians that transcend all gods that they would have worshipped. And then he used the word being. This is a tremendous word. It means the existence of personality and individuality. In him we live and move and have our very individuality. I want you to think about that right now, especially if you're a young person today. You are being brought up in a culture that is demanding that you not stand out or above the crowd. You are to be very homogenous. You are to be the same across the board. Don't be a Bill Gates. Don't be a Steve Jobs. Don't be a Newton. Don't be anybody who rises above the cream, as it were. And the Bible says no way to that. The Bible says that you are to be pursuing the God in whom we live and move and have our very individuality. God has designed your life to be lived to the fullest for his glory. When we talk about the origin of men, we're talking about our worldview and how you see things and explain things around you. That shapes your worldview. And we covered that last time in the introduction of this series. And according to the Bible, this is amazing. It's awesome. It shouldn't surprise us, but according to the Bible, mankind, generically through the study, I'm going to use the word man. I trust that you've been educated enough to know that I'm not being some sort of a chauvinist when I say that. Throughout, for the last 5,000 years, people have referred to man in the truest sense of the word, meaning Mr. and Mrs. Mankind. It's not a sexist remark, man. When God created man, the Bible teaches us that mankind was his pinnacle creation, the human being. My, how we have fallen from the design of God. We have such a low standard and view of human life. Not according to God. You are his greatest, and you represent in humanity God's greatest creation. Think about that for a moment. When we talk about the origins of man, we'll get into some evolutionary stuff. We'll get into some soul-searching stuff, no doubt about it. But keep this in mind, that according to the Bible, God has created you in his moral likeness. And what does that mean? We'll look at that, what that means tonight. And our biblical worldview is one view, and I believe it's the only view from Scripture that places man, listen carefully to this, it is the Bible. It is the Bible that places mankind at a place, at a level that is most reasonable, that is most practical, and that is most honest if we will just take a look at what the Bible has to say about humanity and God's creation. People will, and you'll hear someone tonight say, the God of the Bible is evil, the God of the Bible is unloving, the God of the Bible is uncaring. And yet when you read the Bible, you see the exact opposite. People will say, well, you know, the God of the Bible is this fiery, judgmental, angry God. What book are you reading? Do you mean that that there's a God in the Bible who judges sin and wickedness and executes or brings in justice and righteousness? Okay, then, you would see a God like that being angry if you were the one perpetrating injustice. No one runs up to a police officer and gives him a kiss. There's that sense of fear. You can be doing everything right, and the guy, the officer, will be driving behind you. And don't you get nervous? Did I signal 100 feet in advance, or was it 85 feet? All these thoughts start going through your head. If you're living for God, you don't worry. And there's a big difference. So how do you view God? What is your worldview of God himself? And I want you to be thinking about yourself tonight, not in a selfish way, but in a very honest way. Speaking about honesty, the Bible honestly and without apology defines mankind's roots. It defines his dilemma. The Bible honestly defines his future. You will never find in any writing in the history of man, in any religious group, setting, or religion, a book like the Bible that is honest enough to tell us about who we are, where we've come from, where we're at, and where we're going. Did you know that? I challenge you, if you are a follower of some other God or some other religion, I want you to, in fact, listen, church, I want you to look all around the world in your mind's eye and look at all the various gods that are worshipped in various worlds and cultures of our globe and ask yourself, what has that particular nation or people, what has their God done for them lately? The Bible exalts mankind and explains your very existence. Before we dive into this, Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says that he has made from one blood, said Paul to that crowd, of every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. Now this gets specific. Watch this. One blood, one hematological group. This is serious because already in that statement, Paul is saying, you can look at the verse, Paul is saying, we're not animals. You see, well, a monkey kind of looks like us. I don't know if a monkey looks like us. Maybe a monkey looks like you, but I don't think a monkey looks like us. You say, well, a monkey looks like us. Evolution must be true. Listen, why would you think that? I can turn around and say the same God that made me made the monkey, and his fingerprints are on everything. His fingerprints are even on the egg that the chicken is going to lay tomorrow morning. He's the designer God. But look what Paul says. Out of every blood of every nation of men who dwell on the face of the earth, watch, and has determined their pre-appointed times. That means God has brought you into the world at this moment for a reason. None of you are here by accident. My parents didn't want me. God wanted you here. He keeps going. And the boundaries of their dwellings. God establishes borders of nations. Isn't that amazing? Politicians tear them down. God establishes them. The nations of the world have been appointed by God. Boy, what's going on in the Middle East right now with all the changing and the movement and the governmental changes and the overthrow and the anarchy? Isn't it amazing? Something's cooking, huh? What's God up to? It's amazing. He goes on. Acts 17, 27 says, so that they should seek the Lord. The Bible assumes, without apology, that it is in the heart of man to seek the Lord, and in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. That is a statement. I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm just telling you right now, the Bible says that it's in the heart placed by God, eternity, no matter where you live in the world. And you might be watching here right now by internet TV, and you're on the opposite side of the globe from where we're at. And think about that for a moment. Your whole culture may be anti-God or anti-Bible, but you've gotten on internet television today or tonight or wherever it is in your world, and you're doing that because God has been speaking and working in your life. No one's exempt from this. God is revealing himself. It's what he does. And so when we consider the movement of God in our lives, according to the world around us, every kind of display God has established for us is to know him if we'll just stop and listen and take him in. And I'm going to argue with you tonight to say that there's evidence in every culture that God is reaching out to that culture. He's speaking. So here we go as we get into the origin of man tonight. Mark this down if you would. Number one, mankind, you and I, mankind was created to reveal the glory of God. This is what the Bible says. I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm just asking you to listen for now. Mankind was created to reveal the glory of God, says the Bible. Isaiah 43, 7 says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. According to the God of the Bible, there's a radical claim that is immediately brought up in the opening chapters of the book of Genesis, that God has designed and created man. Without apology, he states it as such. And immediately you and I are brought to this place of a question. Why? If I'm going to go along with your argument regarding the origin of man, and you're going to say that it's not evolution, but it's God, then I'm going to ask you why. Why would God have a need or want to create us, to have us? Number one, mark it down. God has no need nor want to create us. Isn't that interesting? God was not lonely in eternity and twiddled his thumbs until Adam and Eve came along because he had some incredible need to talk to somebody. God cannot be lonely. God cannot be alone. Well, how do you know? Because the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, speaks of God in his existence as God in three persons. The Trinity of God, the scriptures reveal. But the glory of God is why you and I are alive. That's why we're living today. Living, breathing reflectors of who God would have us to shine forth the image of. And I think about that for a moment. As we approach this tonight, think about the observable universe of His creation. It shows that there is great design, great intelligence. And then there's the spiritual creation that speaks to us about the infinite existence of things, the spiritual side of things. You might say, well, I'm an atheist and I don't believe in the spiritual side of things, but that's not exactly true. There is something inside of you that is longing and speaking and questioning spiritual matters. So as we look at this, man was created to reveal the glory of God this way. I mentioned a moment ago, mark it down, the Trinitarian nature of God and man. Mark that down. This is important. The Trinitarian nature of God and man. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is revealed in Scripture. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Why does it say that regarding human beings? Because listen, you and I have been created in the image of God, and God, listen, number one, is a Trinitarian God. The Bible tells us that in Genesis that God was creating, the Holy Spirit was brooding. The word in Hebrew is an awesome word. It means that over the waters of creation, the Holy Spirit was moving like a hen or like a chicken gathers its chickens or chicks together. There's this movement going on. Who did that? The Bible says the Spirit of God was doing that. And in the beginning, God, Elohim, a Hebrew singular plural. How can there be a singular plurality? God says, He says, let us, as we'll see in a moment, let us create man in our image. He was never alone. He was never lonely. He didn't need us. God was not somehow less than God until we came along to make him complete. The Bible says that we were created for the glory of God. And you tonight, you and I have the opportunity to embrace this awesome reality of Scripture. I am to live my life according to God, according to the Bible, to his glory. You see, why should I do that? Well, number one, we owe it to him. Number two, he's worthy. Number three, we ain't going to be happy until we do it. Because that's what we're created to be. Reflectors, glorifiers of God. It's an amazing thing. It's an awesome thing. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that God has created you and I, body, soul, and spirit. Do you know that? The Bible says that we may be alive in the flesh, but we're dead in the spirit. If we're not born again, we are dead to God's relationship that he extends to us. We may have all the money in the world. We may have all the fun in the world, but spiritually we're dead, separated from God. And that's why nothing fits. That's why nothing satisfies and nothing makes happy. Because God has made you a Trinitarian creature. In the image of God. In this world, we have our body that we focus too much on. We think it all begins and ends right here. Listen, when you get to my age, you realize, oh, Lord. In fact, this evening, Lisa said something. She said, I don't remember. She said something, and I said, you know, I've been used by the Lord. I'm grateful to God. I've seen the world. I've seen thousands of people come to Christ. We've preached the gospel all over. Had a chance to do it on radio, to millions of people. Okay, and I told her, I said, "This, you know what? I'm." And she goes, "What?" And I go, "It's just life without God. It's just not what people pump it up to be." Oh, if you get this, not the 2012 Cadillac XYZ, then you'll be happy. You will not be happy. We are a Trinitarian creature created by the Trinitarian God in his image. The next thing is this, not only Trinitarian nature of God and man, We give him glory and praise and honor. It's amazing to think. This is freaky wild to me. That angels were not created in the image of God. You say, angels, aren't they magnificent? Yes, I've never seen one. I don't want to see one. I've read my Bible. They freak people out. I don't need to see one. I honestly don't need to see one. Oh, if I was just an angel. Why would you want to be an angel? Jesus didn't die for angels. He died for human beings, created in the image of God. And the Bible says, by the way, when you and I enter eternity, I don't know how this is going to work, but the Bible says in the book of Corinthians that someday we will judge angels. Can you imagine? Does that seem cockeyed, backward, strange? What does that mean? Does that mean that we're going to be able to judge our guardian angels? You know, where were you on the night of December 14th? What was that? But we're going to do that. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that he's created us a little lower than the angels, but in the end, we will be exalted above the angels in eternity. And then there's the personification of God in man. Faith. Think about the word faith for a second. People like to make fun of the word faith. Now look, mark this down. Anyone who makes fun of the word faith, you can really use that to get into a great debate or a great argument with them. I mean an argument in a good way, not in a fist fight. I mean in a debate. Well, man, you know you Christians, oh, just have faith. Hey, listen, come right back on somebody and say, well, I'd like to know what your faith is in. Everybody exercises faith. Everybody. No one's exempt. It's in your spiritual DNA, even though you may be far from God and fallen in nature. Faith is part of the human existence. And the personification of God in man, as man is to bring God glory. Think about this. Faith brings glory to God when we exercise faith. Listen. When a child trusts their dad or their mom regarding this thing, that really blesses the parent's heart. When Junior trusts him, or when little Miss trusts mom. In that relationship of faith, when you tell your child, I will be here at 3 o'clock to pick you up, you wait here. And that kid knows all day long, my dad's picking me up at 3 o'clock. Faith, it's in us. And it honors God when we have faith in him. And faith, by the way, lived out in our lives, reveals God. The personification of God in man. How does this happen when we are to give God glory in our day-to-day living? Here's the question we need to be asking ourselves. Is my life, is this day that I'm living, giving glory to God? Well, the question should come right back. Am I exercising faith today?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Origins of Man, a study on who we are according to God and how it should affect our biblical worldview of mankind. Today's lesson was one in a series called The Worldview Series. It's a series that takes a look at worldview issues through a biblical lens, and we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. We just ended a series called You Need to Know. We want to let you know that we're presenting to you a special offer, and that's this. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series on MP3 CD. I'll say that again for you. We'll send you the entire series called You Need to Know by Pastor Jack on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name. It's called You Need to Know. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer, write to us, include your gift, and ask for it by name. You Need to Know. It's on MP3 CD. Our address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.